Purim. Welcome, everyone. This year, Monday, what is it, March 2nd, I think? Monday, March 2nd, is going to be Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is a fast day. It's important to note that there's a very, very fundamental difference between the fast day of Tainus Esther and the other Tanisim, the other fasts. Most of all the Tanisim are Avelos, the days of Avelos, mourning for the Korban. But Tainus Esther is not a day of Avelos. Tainus Esther is a day where we're commemorating the fact that the Yidden fasted when they fought the war in the story of Megillas Esther. It's actually a happy day because they won the war. It's a happy day. But we fast to commemorate that. And the Mishnah Berurah says it reminds us that when we're in a tzara and we fast and we daven, then Hashem saves us. So there's a few halachic nafkaminas maybe from this difference. Number one, there's a halacha about Tanesim, the Mishnah Berurah brings it in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, that even though young children don't fast, but there's an inyan of chinuch on a fast. You should be mechanech them, and you should tell them to eat, you know, only what you need. Don't give them candy, don't give them sweets and all this thing. But on Tainus Esther, that inyan doesn't apply, because on Tainus Esther there's no avelos, there's no inyan of chinuch to tell them not to eat candy and sweets mitzad Tainus. So you don't have to worry about that on Tainus Esther. Another nafkamina is there is a Mishnah Berurah brings from Baal Nefesh on a fast they shouldn't take a shower. I don't think this is the prevalent minhag, but some people are makpid not to shower on a Tainus. Again, that wouldn't apply on Tainus Esther, because not showering is an inyan of avelos. On Tainus Esther, where there's no avelos, there's no problem with rechitza. And the final one, which is even less prevalent, is that the Bir Halacha and Hilchos Tishah B'Av says, B'Shem the Prima Godim and Eli Rabba, this is not so well known and probably not so well practiced, that they're makbid not to listen to music on a fast day. And even if you're machmir like that on Tainus Esther, that wouldn't be Negev, because there's no inyan of Avelos, so there's no, even if you that cheetah, there's no problem with listening to music on Tainus Esther. So you can listen to music with no worries. You could take a shower with no worries. You're yotz the whole days. Even if you're that guy that's mekayim every chumrah. Okay. There is a minig in Klal Yisrael on Tainus Esther to give machzah shekel. It's a siman tofrish tzadal. Very interesting. Where would you expect to find the mitzvah of machzah shekel in the Mishnah? You expect to be maybe with the halachas of Tainus Esther. Or maybe as a separate siman or something. But there's a special siman called tofrish tzadal, which is titled the inyan of Mo'os Purim. And he starts out talking about Matanas Lev Yoinim. And then over there, the Ramah said that there's a minig of Machzah Shekel. So it sounds like that there's like this thing called Mo'os Purim. Many Gemaras talk about Mo'os Purim. And Machzah Shekel somehow kind of got Tzugaklept, kind of got attached to the inyan of Mo'os Purim. And that's probably why we do it, Vedafka on Purim, with Tainus Esther, because there's an inyan of giving tzedakah on Purim. So what is the minhag of machzah shekel? The minhag of machzah shekel is that we remember that which the Klal Yisrael gave machzah shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Ramah says, therefore, we give half of whatever the currency is in our country. So the unit currency in America is a dollar. So for machzah shekel, we give half a dollar. And the reason why we do three is because it says three times the Torah to give machzah shekel. So the minhag is, it's not a mitzvah, it's not a chiyah, but it's a minhag that was niskabel by Klal Yisrael, is to give three half dollars to tzedakah on Tainus Esther. The minhag is to do it before mincha. But if you don't do it before mincha, you can do it a different time, and it's fine. The Pesach can say you can even give it until Rosh Chodesh Nisan if you need to. But ideally, you should give it before mincha on Tainus Esther. An interesting... before that, the Kaf HaChaim says that the reason why we do it on Tainus Esther is because since Tainus Esther is a fast day, and giving tzedakah on a fast day is a kapara. So they chapped around that inyan of giving tzedakah on a fast day. They couldn't push Matanas of Yoinim to Tainus Esther because Matanas of Yoinim has to be on Purim. But at least Machzah Shekel, which could be any time, just a minig, it's not a minig of Purim, but Dafka. So they chapped around the inyan of giving tzedakah on a Tainus to be a kapara for the Tainus. There are many poskim that say that you shouldn't say, Harezu Machzah Shekel, you shouldn't say, I'm giving this L'Shem Machzah Shekel. Or even Zechel Machzah Shekel, similar to what it says in Halacha about Pesach, when you put the Zeroya on your Seder, you shouldn't say Bosses with Pesach. Now the Shulchan doesn't say it. The Ramah doesn't say that over here. So some argue that Machzah Shekel is different. There's no Havamina that it's actually a Hektish. But Al Kaponim, it's definitely, there's no reason to say it, and it's better not to say that I'm doing this for Master Shekel. Just do what you got to do, and then let the next guy come in. Okay, who has to give Machzah Shekel? So Ramah says that this is a mitzvah only for people that are 20 years and up. This says in Ramah. Sounds like that they were the ones that gave the donation to the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Berurah brings that some argue and say from bar mitzvah age already you should give Machzah Shekel. And that is the minig. I think the prevalent minig is to be machmer like that shita. So over bar bas mitzvah, for sure, the minig is to give Machzah Shekel. Now what about a katan? Someone under bar bas mitzvah, there's different minhagim about this. Practically, I would say if you ask your father what he did, his minig is that all the children of the family should get Machzah Shekel, then you should do the same. But if there's no such minig in the family, or you don't have such a minig, then it's okay to just give for over bar bas mitzvah.
Yeah,
did
for your wife also?
So women also is minhagim lekanal kan. I would say the same thing. Women, I would say the same thing as ketanim. That's what my father says. That it's minhagim lekanal kan. If you have a specific minig to give for women, or for women to give, then you should follow that. But if not, it's okay to be lenient because it's a suffix minig. Suffix minig l'hakal. So, now the Ramah says this thing, which people are familiar with, that once you start giving for a katan, you can't stop. So let's say you give to your son who's 8 years old. You can't decide to change your mind a year later. So this comes from the concept that if you do a davar tov, it becomes like a neder. And it's like you've been an edge that you're going to give for your ketanim. So, sorry, my father says, this is the Pashat Misvara. He says that this is only if you knew that it was not a chiyuv and you did it anyways. Let's say a person thinks that he has to give for his ketanim. He thinks that's part of the chiyuv or part of the minhag. And then one day he's at a shir and they tell him, well, you don't really have to give for ketanim. So then we don't say that there's a neder because he gave last year. That's a neder betois. So it's only if you know that you're not mechuyev to give for ketanim, and you're doing it because you have that minig, or you want to do that minig to give for all your children, and I don't know, you want to give more tzedakah, so then it's chal that it's a neder. But if you only gave it because you thought that you had to, there's no neder. Okay, so practically speaking, unless you have a specific minig, you just have to give $3.50 for over bar mitzvah. For women, you could be lenient, and for ketanim, you could be lenient. But some people have the minig to give for everyone in the family, and that's a good minig, and you know, it's nothing wrong with that. So you can't use Meiser because this is a minig that's like a chiv. Rav Felder gives a shtickle eitzo, which I never heard this before, but he said, let's say you have a guy who has, you know, there's a lot of children, doesn't have so much money, and he has a minig to give for all of his children. It's like, add up to a lot of money. You know, it's $1.50 per person for let's say he has 13 children and his wife. Okay, for him it's a lot of money. So Rav Felder gives an eitzo like this. He says that really, what happens? When you go to shul, there's usually $0.50 in the pot. And some people go to the bank and get for themselves. So if you do that, if you go to the bank and get for themselves, they're going to probably charge you 50 cents for each $0.50. But let's say I'm buying it from the gabbai of shul. That means I'm going to shul and I'm buying a $0.50 to give back. So the gabbai could set whatever price he wants. He could say, I'm selling you those coins for 10 cents a piece. And he says that's like, you know, the gabbai is, it's assumed that if it's hard for someone can't afford the full $1.50, so then the gabbai is okay with whatever you're able to give. So he says, halacha lemaaseh, he says, you could go to that pot and put in whatever amount you want. You could put in, let's say, $5, and you could pick up those coins as many times as you want. And that's the charge, because that's really what you're doing. The price is whatever.
You ask the gabbai first?
Yeah, so I guess it's better to ask the gabbai first. But it sounds like a fellow holds, you could assume that's the stam das.
You could walk out with him, saying the same.
No, because he's only selling it to you for that rate because you're going to put it back in.
So he could do that. That works if he's only giving it to you.
Yeah.
It's not really yours, then, no.
It's yours to do the mitzvah, so it's like a matana masla hachzir or whatever. But it works for the minig. But if you're going to take it out, then you got to pay full, probably more. I'm saying.
Yeah, if you pay full one for the last one that you take out, if you would actually do it.
Right.
But what you're saying is a bit of cock is that you would, even if you pay full price, you wouldn't be able to walk out with it.
Right.
It's aldas that he's
only to give it back. Right. It's not for sale. These are not for sale. Right. I know in Lakewood the banks are prepared. They come before Purim and they stock up on half dollars. Singles? Okay. Okay. From what? I think only Ben Chaf, 20. That's probably what they're supposed to say. Yeah, men, 20 and up, yeah.
How can the men be so...
Why did the men become more? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, probably because of Moe's Purim, you know, it's just... I'm assuming that's probably why it happens. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of inyonim with Malchus Shekel. Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Kriyas HaMegillah. The halacha is, I'm just reading to you Lashon the Mishnah Berurah, and some people get a lot of anxiety in this halacha. Simon Tucker studies Sif Kotter Mem Ches. What's really the Mechaber? The Mechaber says, Sar Shi Chavin, Sar Chashemeh Lotzis. Okay, the Mechaber actually doesn't say anything. The Mishnah Berurah says, when you listen to the Megillah, you have to lahazin oznoi v'lishmaya kol teva v'teva mipi hakari. You have to hear every single word from the Balkari. V'imichiser hakari afil tevachas, the Balkari misses a word. V'cheinim hashemeya. And even if the listener misses a word, chiser teva achas, lo yotzu. You're not yotze. V'tzorach la'asa. Okay, so that's pretty intense. If you miss a word, you're not yotze. So what does that mean, l'maisa? So there's a big... I know in Lakewood it became a whole big fight. There's two camps about this. What does it mean that you can't miss a word? So some people are machmir, and they say that if you space out in the middle of the Megillah, which is very common, especially if you're tired and you're fasting, and if you space out and like you lose track, and then all of a sudden then you're not yaitze. That's like, I would say, the more machmir the shita.
Why? You heard it, you just didn't process it.
But they say that if you're spacing out, if you're thinking about other things, if your mind is wandering, then that's called not hearing a word. That's the camp of the machmirim, we'll call it. The camp of the mekilim, there's a lot of different ways of being magdir, but the one that makes the most sense to me is that the way to measure if you're listening to every word is, imagine if the Balkari would start reading the Declaration of Independence. He would like switch in the middle and start reading something, not just like a different psukim, like something no shaykhah. Would you realize that he's changed? If you would realize that he changed, so then you're listening, you're hearing the words. I mean, so if you're so spaced out that you won't even chap if he starts reading, you know, Shakespeare, so then that's called that you're not listening. So that's a little bit more of a... So avada l'maisa, it's try best to be machmir, like the machmir, and try to hear every word, put your finger on the place, listen to every word. But, you know, if you spaced out a little bit and you missed the word here and there, and you weren't so, like, you didn't fall asleep, you know, you're at a point where you heard in the background what's going on, to the point that if he would start saying Shakespeare, you would chap, so then you're yaitze. And that's the chara.
You look like a rash.
So again, I wouldn't advise it, because the machmir, you might get distracted. Unless you're very quick, you know. I don't know. You pick something for a baron. I'm not sure. Someone put out a statement.
It's also Mikra Megillah,
not Mishmor Megillah. Yeah, Mikra
Megillah.
Different from Shofar. Yeah. So it's Shomei Koine.
So the Kiddush Shomei Koine,
you have to hear it. Okay. You're not supposed to. You're not allowed to speak during the Megillah.
Let's say you spaced out, and you have the Megillah.
Yeah, so that for sure. If you have a Megillah in front of you, even if you have a Chumash, it's better to read the words that you missed. Because then...
Even though you're going to miss more words than the Balkari.
You catch up to him. Right. That's better. That's why there's actually a halachic mila in having a Megillah. Because if you do that, it's much better if you have a Megillah.
Should you meaning, is it better to read with the Balkari everything between
no.
the Megillah?
Oh, if you have a Megillah... Yeah. I think that people do it. I don't know. Yeah. Probably depends on if you're going to concentrate better or not. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Okay, you can't speak during the Megillah. Even after they finish the Megillah, you have to wait until after the Bracha. Haravis Reveinu, after the Bracha, you can't talk at all. Could you hear the Megillah in a different Havara from what your minhag is? Let's say you're Sfaradi, and you hear Megillah Ashkenazi or whatever. Some people say that all of us have the wrong Havara, you know, so What's the so Rav Moshe writes that there was something called a different language, Lashon and Chol Lashon not Yotzei Megillah. Megillah has to be read in Lashon HaKodesh. But he says a different Havara, even if it's a wrong Havara, is not called a different Lashon. It's still Lashon HaKodesh. It's just Meshubash. It's a Lashon HaKodesh Meshubash, he calls it. So he says, Yavad Yotzei in Lashon HaKodesh Meshubash, you're just not Yotzei in a different language. So if you hear the Megillah in the, obviously it's better to do it the Havara that you that's your Minhag, but if you hear from a different Havara, it's okay. Okay, someone that can't make it to Shul, could they hear the Megillah on a telephone or on a microphone? Or it's really a shiloh about a microphone. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this. Rav Moshe, he doesn't come out with a clear answer, but he says he's noite that a microphone is good. Because he says the way that a microphone works is that it's really the voice of the person just, you know, being amplified to the public. That's what Rav Moshe wrote in a tshuva. And in a different place, he says that a telephone would be the same thing. Now, Rav Felder brings that one of the people from Rav David Feinstein's inner circles told him that Rav David told him that Rav Moshe, at the end of his life, re-examined the technology of a microphone, and he said that it's not true. He said he comes out that really it's not considered kol, and he said you're not Yotzei. That was what Rav Moshe said in his life.
Down the voice and then
Right. Right. Now, I would assume nowadays, where everything's digital, it's kol shekein like that. Like, I would imagine digital technology has, like, no shaykhis. Right. So, even Rav Moshe, B'sof Yomov, back down, and Rav Moshe says that you're not Yotzei with a telephone or a microphone. He says, someone that's not going to hear the Megillah, then he says, lo yoyo v'lo yazik. He says, it's not going to help, but it's not going to hurt. So, it's, you know, it's definitely okay.
Let it hear a Kaddish from a microphone. Meaning somebody, we had a CM here, right? Who said Kaddish, there's a microphone there. I'm answering your Kaddish, you're answering Stam.
Yeah, I hear. I don't know. That might be different.
You're saying something, a statement that the person made.
Maybe there you don't have to hear it, you just have to know that he said it. Uh-huh. I'm not sure, right? But here there's a din of Shomei Karina, you have to hear the Kriya.
Just in parentheses, like I said, Clay Zemmer.
I don't know why isn't this cliché? Why isn't the digital also a cliché? It's only cliché if it's a saxophone. this is a computer that plays music.
Right.
So you're right. It's not the saxophone, but it's still music. I'm just saying it is music.
So even acapella would be an answer. You're saying.
Yeah, like acapella is also music.
I'm saying not even if they're trying to imitate instruments, just the person's voice itself should be an answer.
Like no, something thing. Called a human voice. If call.
Yeah, but you're saying that it's not.
Yeah,
no,
he's
saying
because
it's digital.
I if there's a difference in halacha between a human singing and instruments, if there is, which there might be, then there is a difference. So, I don't know. Human singing is okay, and instruments is not okay. But why isn't the computer an instrument? Like what? It's not human. So it's a third thing. So I have to know. Okay, that's for a different topic. Lamaisa, the best thing to do if there's someone, let's say, who's in the hospital and there's no way to get him a Kriyas Megillah, the best thing would be to have a recording of the Megillah and he should try to read along, he or she should try to read along with the recording. If that's not possible, then you're an oinus, you know, but maybe it's still a nice thing to listen just for the to get the flavor, but there's no you can't be in kind of mitzvah with the microphone.
Read along even in the Chumash?
Yeah, either one. In Lakewood, they broadcast the Megillah on the radio on Purim, and I always wondered like if it was Yotzei Schar Behav Seder, because people probably think they're Yotzei with that, but you're not. But at least what it helps for is if someone's not able to hear the Megillah, then they could read along with that, and fine. Okay, there is a minhag to clap for Haman. I'm not going to tell you what it says in the Ezra's Torah Luach. You could look it up there on this minhag. But because it's a minhag chaviv in Klal Yisrael. I'll tell you what Reb Chaim Palagi writes. Reb Chaim Palagi says that when we clap Haman down here, so those hits go to Haman in Gehenim. So the more we clap, the more, that's what Reb Chaim Palagi says.
Use a cracker.
Here. Rav Matasyahu, I once heard him talk about the minig of klap and gum. He said the minig started off that people would take like a board that has Haman's name on it, and they would like hit it. And then it became that people started just making noise, and then people used groggers, which he said are like, it's like happy, it's like merrymaking. He said it's like, care for the minig. The minig is supposed to, he says, and his lashon was, he said, now people like shoot guns and this. He's like, it started a minig to be moicha haman, and now it became a minig to do a maisa haman. He said, but the ikar minig is to clap, is to hit him, and to, which is an inyan of being moicha amalek. Okay, if there's women having a kriya, so there's a discussion who makes the bracha. So again, it's different minhagim. It's better for the women to make the bracha. So if the man was already yaitze. Some people have the minig that each lady makes a bracha for themselves, and some have the minig for one lady to make a bracha for everyone, and they're both legitimate minhagim. If you don't have a specific minig, then it's better to have one lady make it for everyone. Okay. The mitzvah hayoyim. So on Purim, we know there's four mitzvahs hayoyim. Mikra Megillah, we spoke about already. Then there's a mitzvah of matanas avyoinim, a mitzvah of mishloach manos, and a mitzvah of sudas Purim. So do we make a shachiyonu on these mitzvahs? So Mishnah Berurah says that when we do make a shachiyonu, he says the minute you should have in mind when you make a shachiyonu by the Megillah, you should have in mind for mishloach manos and sudas Purim. It doesn't say matanas avyoinim. The Pri Megadim adds matanas avyoinim. So it's interesting machlokes. It sounds like maybe a machlokes if matanas avyoinim needs a shachiyonu. I wonder if it's like maybe a machlokes what the gedder of matanas avyoinim is, if it's time a mitzvah tzaka, or if it's a special maisa mitzvah of matanas avyoinim on Purim. Okay, that's for shachiyonu. What's the shir matanas avyoinim? You have to give two matanas to two poor people. How much is considered a matana? So, I'll say over Rav Moshe, in America, most people go with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that the shear of a matana has to be a shear of a small meal, which he says is a roll and a coffee. So go to your local kosher cafe, and how much does it cost to buy a roll and a coffee? And that's the shear of matana zavena.
$15.
I remember when I was in Lakewood, this is probably going back 15 years, so they... You know, in Kovitz Halachas or Shmuel Kamenetsky, it says that $1 is a shir matanas avyoinim. So I'm sure it's not the same nowadays. But so I remember on Purim, I went to Rabbi Forsheimer, who's one of the leading poskim in Lakewood, and I said, he's a Talmud of Shmuel. I said, how could it be yotze matanas avyoinim with $1? So he told me you could buy a bagel with $1. So it sounded like he held that the price of a bagel, that's the shir matanas avyoinim. So how much does a bagel cost nowadays? And the same bagel now, how much does it cost to buy a bagel? Probably like $2, $2.50, I don't know. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's probably cheaper. But how much does it cost to buy?
Nice.
No, but I don't know.
You go, huh? Walmart, you can buy six bagels for $2.
But see, if it's like a dozen bagels, like you buy like a sleeve of bagels, does that count? Maybe.
No,
okay.
You can buy it right. For less than
it's 50 cents. Yeah.
Even less.
Yeah.
Now, what's considered avyoin? That's the biggest question because
yeah. Give, okay.
How much to give? Okay, but
who's an avyoin? So yeah, I'm not going to get into that. That's a complicated thing. What's called an avyoin? What's not? Yeah.
But that's the
yeah.
That's what determines if you're doing the mitzvah or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you give to any guy who comes to the,
yeah, it's not. You can't give to a moisad. You can't give to an organization. You can't give to a. It's not chazakas. There has to be someone who's poor. The question is how poor.
What? An organization that gives the poor people.
Yeah, yeah, they'll take care of you. I once heard, I don't know if this is really true, that the poor, they said that we should try to give to a person who's like a bachur in yeshiva who doesn't have any money. They're the poorest people. Like you have a person who's already married, has a family, so even if he's poor, but he has some money. But someone who's a single guy, he's a teenager, doesn't have any money. Okay, but I don't know. That's the inyan of the mitzvah. What? Right. I hear. Yeah. So I wouldn't recommend that. Yeah. So he's not ani.
In the definition of Masechet Peah about somebody who's allowed to take from tzedakah.
Yeah. So what does it say? 50 masayim zuz, right? How much is masayim zuz nowadays?
So it's basically what it used to cost for a person to live for a whole year back in the days.
Uh-huh.
So how much would it cost for somebody to live for a whole year today? Mm-hmm. If he doesn't have that, then he's considered a Avyon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. That's Mustaver.
Today the big issue is that people have credit cards, so they, even if they don't have any money, they're not starving.
But credit card doesn't make you richer.
No, it's true. If you look at it like that, it's a little bit different. It used to be someone didn't have mazon, Shnei Sudas.
Okay, I hear. I don't know. It's hard to hear that a credit card would make someone not have you.
Donald Trump's famous slide, when he saw the most person, was this person's not $100 million richer than me. So you can see Donald Trump at that position, you give him a ton of stuff, you know, $100 million in debt.
Yeah. I hear. It's complicated to know. You know, make sure you know that he's an Evian, or rely on an organization or a Rav who knows what an Evian is.
Today, most people, but I'm saying a lot of people fall into that category. If they don't have
money for a year.
Yes, somebody doesn't have, I don't know how much it costs to live for a year, but I'm saying it's a lot of money.
I hear.
Every person has to give
a tzedakah. Okay, so let's get to that. Who has to give a tzedakah? I'll get to that in a minute.
Wait, is there
a
value of giving
a
tzedakah local, or can I? Let's say I know California is for sure an Evian.
I would imagine that the k'dim of Aniyei Ircha and Aniyei Yerushalayim is the same.
Apply,
yeah.
Stuff,
right.
That's my question. If you know a guy there is Israel, it's for sure an Evian. And
could you give a check from a house of Evian? Unless it's a post-dated check.
Or a credit card.
When you pay, see, like when you pay with a credit card, they're getting the money right away. But when you give them,
you didn't give them money. Yeah.
Yeah, but they.
You gave a promise to.
But you took out credit.
Okay, but you borrow money.
Money from me. That's
from the evidence perspective, you gave money, but a check.
What? The credit card get they get the company get the whatever the person gets it right away, or it takes a couple days to process.
When you swipe a card, they get the money.
Right. Credit card and the website,
they get it right.
If you're giving to a tzedakah organization and they're not going to give the money till a few days later, then it's a problem. But if they're giving the money today,
they have clearing.
That's the achrayus of a tzedakah organization to make sure. That's why they always say, "Boy, by yoyim, we're giving it today." And the poskim say that you could give to Yerushalayim even if it gets given out on Tezvav. That's a shiloh, but that's okay.
Because it's Purim, or because here it's Purim?
No, I think it's because for them that's Purim. Yeah, I think.
So the question is when it's Purim for the Evyon or for you? Like, is it right, so on you, not on him?
Yeah, so I think that this psak would be holding that it's as long as it's Purim for the Evyon, it's okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. We find it all the time. People give Matanas Evyon to Yerushalayim. How does that work? It's being given out on Shushan Purim. So I'm sure some people are trying to be machmer to give it in the 7 hours of overlap. Is it right? Is that the cheshbon? But it's definitely there's what to be saying. Okay, so a post-dated check. So someone they asked Rabbi Yasha this question. Rabbi Yasha said that a post-dated check is fine because you could use it in the store. Now I don't know. I don't think checks in Eretz Yisrael are the same as checks in America. I don't know if you go into Walmart or. You know, with a post-dated check, with somebody else's check. I don't know if they would take it. For sure not a post-dated check. So some say that you can't apply really Yashua's Pesach to America. Rabbi Felder comes out L'maisa that you could be Mekel because L'maisa, when you get a check, you know, you have the money. Even though technically the guy could call the bank and cancel it. But if the way we look at it, if someone gives a check, someone in good faith gives a check to someone, it's key like he has the money. You cannot use Meiser money from Matanas Avyonim. Same thing, because it's a chiyuv. There's an interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which sometimes people take advantage of it. Organizations take advantage of it. People are confused about it. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Kol HaPoshet Yad Noisnim Loi, that on Purim, there's a mitzvah of Kol HaPoshet Yad Noisnim Loi. It's in Tafresh Sadi Dalad, Siv Gimel. So what does that mean? I'll read you the whole halacha. Ein medaktik in b'mayis purim el kol mi shepoishin yod elito noisim loy. So if you look in the sources, the real halacha of kol poishit yad noisim loy means that usually during the year when you give tzedakah, you're supposed to be boidik. You're supposed to check the ani to make sure that he's legitimately an ani, and not a swindler. On Purim, the halacha is ein medaktikim. You're not medaktik. You don't check into the person to make sure that he's an ani. That's the halacha. And the reason for this is because on Purim, the inyan of giving tzedakah is not just the inyan of tzedakah. It's the inyan of being marbe reyos, being marbe simcha. So if you start asking the person, you know, for his what's it called, petek? What do they call it? The papers, yishur. For his yishur, then it just takes away from the simcha. So on Purim, you're not medactic. You give tzedakah to the guy if he wants it, but it doesn't mean you have to give to every single guy. That's not what it means. I mean, I'm not saying that's not a good thing, and there's probably big things about giving tzedakah on Purim, and it's a big schus. But it's not the inyan of kol ha'poshei yad. Kol ha'poshei yad doesn't mean everyone that asks you for money, you give him. It means anyone that asks, you give, and not don't have to be boidik him to make sure that he's legitimate. Okay.
And it counts like you gave tzedakah?
If he's taka...
Let's say you said, I gave this amount of money as maaser, whatever, you took it from maaser.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, does it count like tzedakah, or just you give him, just because...
Yeah, Al-Khari counts as tzedakah. Yeah, Al-Khari counts as tzedakah. Yeah.
Once you're yetzed by the one money, then at that point, that's obviously
you give. Yeah, two of yoinim. You have to give two of yoinim. So then you're yetzed the mitzvah matanis agayim. So after that, you can give from myself for sure. Yeah, for sure.
No, but if you gave him, you didn't check him out. Meaning, this is saying that even if you didn't check him out, it's not considered tzedakah.
Yeah. I think you're yetzed even matanis agayim, even if you didn't check him out.
So if he's not an Evyon,
you can
say Matanot
Evyon?
Yeah, I mean, he has to tell you that he's an Evyon. If he tells you he's not an Evyon, then you can't. But if he tells you he's an Evyon, then it's Nirin Advarim that he's telling the truth. So right, but regular Hilchos Tzedakah, the halacha is you should be bodek and make sure. So let's say Lamaisa, practically speaking, a lot of cities, they have you have an Yishur, right? So the rest of the year, you have to ask him for his Yishur. On Purim, you don't ask him for his Yishur. You just trust him. Now, if you really think that he's a swindler, that's a different thing. But
is it that you could ask for Yishur, or is it that you could ask for Yishur? It's not considered to be a
dichoy. I don't know. I don't want to answer that question. Look in the Gemara Bava Basra, it sounds like you're supposed to ask. You don't just throw around your money like that. But I don't know if it's a chiyuv. Chiyuv is a strong word.
You don't have to give everything. Yeah. Who would have to give if they would ask you?
Yeah. But that's saying that if you can't be boyd, if you can't ascertain if he's a rami or not, so then you don't have to give him.
And then you're saying that implies that you would have to ascertain.
But if you could ascertain, then yeah, I'm saying, yeah. Okay. What about who has to give matanis of yain? That's what Meir asked before. So anyone over bar and bas mitzvah for sure has a chiyuv. For ketanim, so it's a question of chinuch, right? Is there a mitzvah chinuch on the mitzvah of matanas avyanim? So Rabbi Yashiv and Chaim Kanievsky both said that there's no mitzvah chinuch on matanas avyanim. And the explanation is like this, because matanas avyanim is a mitzvah to give from your money to tzedakah. It's ketanim don't usually have money. So since ketanim don't usually have money, they said there's no mitzvah chinuch on matanas avyanim. Mishlach manas, there is. There is a mitzvah chinuch on mishlach manas. Your children should give mishlach manas. You should educate them in the mitzvah of mishlach manas. Matanas avyanim, there's no mitzvah chinuch. Now, if you have a child, let's say you have a 12-year-old who's like already a little businessman, he has a whole geschäft, and he has money, maybe you should be mechanech in the mitzvah matanas avyanim. But generally speaking, that's not the case. So two matanas valued at, let's say, I don't know, a few dollars, for two avyanim, for everyone in the family who's over bar and bas mitzvah, that's the chiv.
Did you mention the wife
of the chiv? Yeah, a woman has a chiv. Yeah. I didn't mention it, but a woman is...
Yeah,
the husband could give for her.
So he should be giving for her.
The husband could give, right, for each person in the family, for each person in the family that's over bar mitzvah, two matanas. So if there's a husband and wife, then it's four. If it's if there's kids over Bar Mitzvah, then add for that. Okay, the mitzvah Mishloach Manos. There's a mitzvah to give Mishloach Manos Ishtarei, which means to give two portions of food to one person. What's called two portions? It's the million-dollar question. So there is this thing in the world of two brachas, which Pashas has no real makar for that. It doesn't have to have two brachas, but it has to be two different types of food. What's called two different types of food? So, what?
Pringles and barbecue Pringles.
So if it's a different taste and a different surah, looks different and it tastes different, that's enough that it's different.
It doesn't have to be two brachas.
Right, for sure it doesn't have to be two brachas. And even if it's the same food, if it's two like flavors and it's nicker that's different, and you can't just take a piece of meat and cut it in half. That's for sure not two manas. And if it's prepared differently and it's not so different, you know, one is, you know, medium rare and one was well done, I don't know if that's enough. But if it's very different, let's say barbecue potato chips and regular potato chips, it's mistar, that's considered two different menu. Yeah, you could do a drink and a food for sure. But we'll talk about drinks. What drinks are good enough? Because we'll get that in a minute. There is a chumra from the Ben Ish Chai. I don't know if many people are makbar like this. Maybe this is Fardamar. I don't know. To have it in two different kalim. Have you ever heard of this? It's not practiced commonly for sure, not by the Ashkenazim. Have you seen this chumra? Two kalim? The what's it called? I don't. Maybe I'll stop the recording.